We begin with three words. God needs you.
Amen.
You. Singular, each one of you. You, plural, all of us. When God created the universe, He didn't need anything. That aspect of His will was done by Himself. Whether or not the angels helped create the earth, I don't know. But now, in this age, His will be done with our coordination, cooperation. This is what He's looking for. And it's not pleasant to say, but there are well-known theologians through the centuries, and in this country today, they would reject this word. He said, God is God. He doesn't need anything or anyone. Well, that's only partially accurate. When nothing existed, there was no one to help him, no need for help. But now, in this age, His will be done on the earth only when there is cooperation among those who love Him and believe in Him. Amen. And they don't have to be, according to human culture, outstanding people. They're just ordinary human beings, children of God, consecrated to Christ. They've given themselves to Him. They've settled the matter, as we mentioned last night, that God's will concerns the all-inclusive Christ. God's will is building up the church as the body of Christ. We exist for this. Once this is settled in us, then we can sincerely ask Him, what is Your will concerning me? What is my portion here? And the Lord will make it known. And so the subject of message two is God's need for our cooperation and for prayers that express His will. So this is a rather thoughtful message, but it doesn't mean it's not spiritually significant, but it's something that the Lord wants, what's in His heart, to touch the deeper part of our being, to realize, will we or will we not render, that is, give our cooperation? And once we decide yes, then we may say, Lord, what is this cooperation? I'm 17 years old. Can I cooperate in high school? Of course you can. Of course you can bring other students to salvation. Of course you can read the Word a little bit every day. And one may be in your 90s, but you're still inwardly active. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too anything. I want to emphasize this. God needs you. Amen. Remember last night, you have a portion of Christ that no one else has. And with that measure of Christ, you have a particular function. in a particular way of serving in the context of your normal daily human living. And so we will devote part of the message to God's need for our cooperation. And then the second part, God needs for prayers that express His will. And I'll mention a little bit now, but I hope it won't distract you when we are in the first section of the outline. There are prayers that are not prayers, according to God. According to our view, this is a prayer. I originated it. I had the thought, I had the feeling, and I really hope and want God to do this. So I ask Him to do it, and that's prayer. Well, it is a prayer from a human point of view. But we will see when we come back to John 15:7 that we read. But I'll repeat it now. If we abide in Him, in Christ, and His words abide in you. What words? Those are words of prayer. What Christ is praying right now, He's interceding. In His heavenly ministry, Christ is praying without stopping. And we know, as made clear in the book of Hebrews, all of us are on His heart before God in the Holy of Holies. He loves and cares for every one of us. And He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. And He wants us to experience our abiding in Him. Then His words, that is, the words of His praying, they become our words. His praying becomes our praying. And so we are praying. We're not just imitating. We're not just quoting. We are sincerely praying. Because now we are deeply one with the Lord regarding this kind of prayer. And whatever we will, He will do. And I believe the Lord has been waiting for centuries for little groups of saints or the prayer meeting of the church to have this kind of genuine prayer. And the prayers that express God's will. God's will has been making Himself known to us, but He will not do it in this age by Himself. We'll see as we go through the outline. God has decided to accept limitations on Him. And the limitations are this. God created us, and just to be accurate biblically, God created us in His image. Male and female, He created them. That's all. No going back and forth. And we were placed on the earth to express Him. And we have one task, to recover the whole earth, for the Lord to be able to rule through us on the earth. And so for this, He needs our cooperation. And so He puts on Himself a limitation, meaning, I will do as much as they will coordinate. If they are able or willing to coordinate 40%, then I will accomplish 40%. If they are accepting training from me and the shepherding of them, and they're growing in life, and now it's 75%. Now, 75% of my will can be done. Why don't we receive the grace and the power of Christ's resurrection to give the Lord 100% coordination? Then there'll be no limitations, because we are absolutely one with him in this matter. So reading Roman numeral 1, in order for his will to be done on earth and for his eternal purpose to be fulfilled, God needs our cooperation. But sorry to say, certain theologians would say, this is false. God is omnipotent. He has all power. He doesn't need you. What do you think you are? Well, are you really asking what I think? I'm a child of God. I have the life and nature of God in Christ in me. Of course, they don't believe that kind of salvation. But God needs our cooperation. And so first, step by step, once the light shines on us, it's not my word that's going to really minister to you. It's going to be God as light shining through the word. Then you realize, Lord, I hear your way. I heard what you're saying. You need coordination. Show me what this means. And Lord, I ask you, in what way can I coordinate with you? And the Lord will show you. This is in the context of your normal daily living. In your inner being, you are coordinating with God. Just imagine, you're standing before the Son of God for his judgment, who will be in the kingdom or not. And he would say, well done. You coordinated with God. As soon as you heard about this and opened your being for this and accepted God's development within you, and you coordinated God. You enabled God to do this and that in this place, in this situation. You did it. Well done. That's really going to happen. Not just for Paul and the other apostles, not just for Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, but for us, the members of the body. A, God can carry out on earth what he has planned in heaven only when he has people who are coordinate with him. Otherwise, his will is not done. We know it, what it is, but it's not done on earth, God needs to gain people on earth who will cooperate with him and work with him according to his mind. Now we're touching on something which may be something you never heard before, that we, according to his mind, and then we're going to see that his mind becomes our mind. Well, if you could look at these verses in Philippians and in Colossians, we know what's in the mind of God. And we know from Revelation 12 that we are being renewed in our mind. And so, remember, Christ is the life-giving spirit. We are one spirit with him. And as Christ is making his home in our heart, he's making his home in our mind. And then as he's making his home in our mind, he renews our mind, deals with our way of thinking, our imaginations, our memories, and make our mind one with his mind. It's still our mind. We're not a puppet. This is our mind. But his mind has become our mind, just as his heart has become our heart. And so we need, this is the beginning of transformation, is the renewing of the mind. And I would just point out, this is where the spiritual warfare takes place in the lives of believers. The mind is the battlefield. And just to point out something, excuse me again, that spirit, soul, and body. And the soul is in the middle. So we have our physical body, then we have our regenerated spirit, and the soul on one side is touched to our body. On the other side, it's connected with our spirit. And so it's where our soul is functioning. If whatever is taking place in our body, especially if there's a sinful or deathly element, then our soul is going to be expressing that. But if our will, with the mind taking the lead, is set on the spirit, then our soul will function with the mingled spirit in us. And then our mind is going to be renewed. You don't have to a seminary, you don't have to get a PhD. Even if you didn't graduate from high school, your situation was such you just had to work. This doesn't mean you don't have the human capacity. You have it. And now the Lord will renew your mind, and you will just understand. We have to understand what is taking place in our spirit. Otherwise, we just have some deep sense, but we don't know what it is. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to pray. But as the mingled spirit flows into our mind and our mind is being renewed, we just understand what it is. And so that is why we want to serve according to his mind. And so we just simply ask, Lord, please renew my mind. Make it the same as your mind, that I may serve you and coordinate with you, that your will may be done on earth. Two, as long as there are those who are of the same mind as God and are willing to work with him, God's work will be carried out on earth. As long as there are those who are of the same mind as God. Does this word, those, include you? Surely it does. You are of the same mind as God and are willing to work with him. God's work will be carried out on earth. The extent to which we cooperate with him, that will determine how much his will is done on earth. So let's just say for the church in Phoenix and the nearby church, how much of God's will be done in this part of the country depends upon the mind of the saints being renewed to have the same mind as Christ. And then God's work will be carried out in Phoenix, in Arizona, wherever you are. This is not just words on the paper. The Lord is longing for this. God needs this. Not just for brothers and sisters personally to do it, although that's endearing to him. He needs local churches to be functioning in this way, for his will to be done in this part of the earth. Lord, what is your will for Phoenix? What do you want to do this year? What's on your heart for this state? We are here to coordinate with you. Okay, B, our eyes need to be open to see that God has his limitations and to see how we should coordinate with him. So again, some theologians would say, how dare you say, listen to this old fellow from terrible place, California, saying that I have limitations. Doesn't he know I'm omnipotent? I can do everything. I'm everywhere. I know everything. Well, we know these elementary things. You want to stay in first grade Bible study? Okay, stay in first grade and say these things. But as we are developing, we realize God in his Godhead knows everything, does everything. But God in his carrying out his work is limited by the extent to which the God created and Christ redeemed people coordinate with him. In other words, we are the limitation, or we are the open door for whatever's on his heart, whatever his will is. And so, let's just say, you know, we better not get into anything, because I'm not getting into something political, but it matters to God who is going to be president and who's going to be the leader in such and such a place. And we're not talking or praying politics, we're just saying, Lord, what is your will concerning this? Amen. Who do you want to be in the White House next year? Amen. For your purpose, not for our politics, but for your will. Amen. Things like this. And so, we need to see how we should cooperate with him. Now, the subpoints will help us be enlightened. God is omnipotent, but his omnipotence is subject to limitations because he must have certain conditions suitable for his working. So again, I'm emphasizing, God himself is omnipotent. He has all power, all knowledge. But for him to carry it out on the earth, there are limitations, certain conditions, because he created us and redeemed us to work with him. So the extent to which we can cooperate with him will determine, will he be limited or not? This is quite an important matter. Surely, it will rise up within us, Lord, please have mercy and grace to me. I don't want to be one who limits you. I'd like my daily living to be one with all the others, to coordinate with you. Here's another day, a day for your will to be done on the earth. And I want to learn to coordinate with you, that nothing will hold you back. Two, the man was created with a free will. The limitations of God began at this point. So we all have, obviously, a human will, a free will. We were created this way. And that's why when the first man and first woman were in the garden, the Lord just said, you can partake of any of these trees, but not this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they had a free will. And we know the enemy deceived the woman, and she partook of it, and she brought some to her husband, but he was not deceived. That's why I say again, as he did last night, he's responsible. He deliberately did not agree. He exercised his will. Instead of saying, dear, the Lord said, if you partake of the fruit of that tree, you will die, and that will be your outcome. But I will not partake of this fruit that you're bringing to me. No matter how much I love you and can't live without you, I'm here to do the will of God. I don't know if any man can do this in relationship with the one you love. And the enemy knows this, and so he uses this. And so we're in this kind of situation. And so, in the procedure of transformation, it begins with the mind. We're being renewed in the mind that we would be transformed. Then the Lord flows to the emotion and then the will. And just last Wednesday night, a message on being in the corporate procession, declaring Christ's victory. The last part concerned our will needs to be conquered, our will, so that the life-giving Spirit is now saturating our free human will, so that on this level, our will and God's will are one. And here I mean God's will as his capacity to wish and decide. This is what he's looking for. This is what he needs among us. God wants the human will to be on his side. Therefore, he accepts the limitation that this desire entails. And so he wants this coordination, but he's not going to force it. He's not going to deny your free will. He's looking for those who are enlightened, who know what God wants, at least in a general way, and they exercise, they don't stop with their feeling. Lord, with my will, I choose to throw off any limitations I put on you. I exercise my will to be one with you, for your will to be done here and now. So in God's creation, God put his almighty power under the limitation of the human will. I mean, just consider this. We're limiting God. We're limiting God. All of us. But we didn't realize this, but this is understandable. But now the light is coming. And Lord, I don't want to be among those who limit you. And I not only pray personally, I just pray for all the brothers and sisters and all the local churches. The limitations will be gone. You have a free way in every local church for your will to be done on that part of the earth, in that location, because there's no limitations in that local church. No self, no kind of natural disposition, no cultural elements determining everything, but we're all open vessels. Little b, God wants the human will to be on his side. Now, in Revelation 3, I'm using this as an illustration where the Lord is speaking to the church in Laodicea, and he's knocking at the door. He said, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dinner with him. And so this means that someone personally needs to realize the Lord wants entrance. And you're not sitting there and just say, come on, the door is unlocked. He won't come in. He wants us, by exercising our will, to be on his side. Please come in. May your will be done here. I want to be one with you. No limitations. So God wants the human will to be on. This is what he wants. But he's not going to enforce it. He will allow certain things to take place in us so that through those events, he will try to renew your will. And eventually, this was at the end of the message from last Wednesday, in Song of Songs, chapter 4, this is the lover seeking the Lord, growing in life. And then he said, your neck is like the Tower of David, and in the tower are all the weapons of warfare. And these, the neck signifies our will. Our will is renewed. And it's our will renewed that contains the weapons of warfare. And the warfare that we are in is mainly defensive because Christ has already been the victor. So we are instructed in Ephesians chapter 6, we are standing here. We're standing in the victory of Christ, and the enemy attacks. But we are coordinating with God only when we actively exercise our will to be one with him. If we are passive, that means we're not actively exercising our will. God will not move. But that is when the enemy moves the most. This is what he does try to do in his subtle way to make us passive yet open. We have to be open in a wise way. And there have been times, not frequently, maybe they'll be needed more in the future. At the very end, we finished a semi-annual training. And in many ways, we had a colossal coordinated time together. And we're full of joy and rejoicing and praise. Then I have to remind the trainees, when you walk away out of this building, close your inner being. Don't walk around in the world wide open. Because I remember one time, my daughter was just about 17, and She was allowed to use our car to go to a high school meeting. And after she came home, she said, "Dad, I need to tell you something, that we had a marvelous meeting together. I've never been in such a meeting with enjoying the Lord and praising Him and sharing. And then I had the car, there were a few of us in the car, and we were so excited. And I was just, almost, they were urging me to drive in a kind of fast and reckless way, until she said, I just stopped the car." And she said, what happened? Why did I do this?" So this was a lesson for her. I said, "You were wide open to the Lord in that meeting, as you should have been. But you left the meeting and you're in the car with others, wide open. Then the enemy could just attack and stir up, trying to kill you all with an accident." And so she learned this lesson, that after a meeting like this, and you're going outside of the meeting place, don't walk around wide open. You have to close your inner being to be protected, and then you will know when it's in fellowship or another prayer meeting, whatever it is, then you can open yourself. When you're with the Lord, you can open your being. And so our will has to be renewed. And when it is, then we will be able to participate in the spiritual warfare for God's will to be done. Okay, point three. As members of Christ, as members of Christ's organic, mystical body, we are either expressing Him or limiting Him. So now we're considering the corporate side. Either or, expressing Him or limiting Him. So once again, the light shines. This is the option. We can either express Christ or limit Christ. So once we know this, then immediately we should pray, "Lord, train us to express You and not to limit You." We all want to learn this. And we'll learn it in degrees, step by step. Okay, there's no experts on this. I'm not one. I'm a learner along with you. But if we have a passive disposition, I repeat, the enemy likes this. Now he can come in and go as far as he can in your being. Now please listen carefully, because the enemy may want to attack later on you. To say, you have this kind of disposition, you're quite passive in many ways, you're open, you love the Lord, but you're quite passive. So the enemy came in, but I have good news for you. You can demand him to get out. Amen. Get out of me. You have to obey my will. My inner being is for the all-inclusive Christ. Amen. And so don't think that if we were passive and these things took place and now for the rest of our days he's going to be there. No, exercise your will in harmony with the Lord. You know it's God's will to drive the enemy away, and you exercise your will. You must get out, and he'll leave. But you don't want to stay an open vessel without content. And so then immediately you pray, Lord, just dispense yourself into me. Fill me with yourself. Make your home in my heart. Saturate me with yourself. The Lord needs to bring us to the point where we have nothing to hinder him from doing whatever he wills. So again, the Lord needs to bring us, all of us, so we're all in the process, okay? So there's nothing particularly erroneous with you. We're all the same. We may be in different stages, but we're all in this together. The Lord needs to bring us to the point where we have nothing to hinder him from doing whatever he wills. So this can become a simple prayer. Lord, you need saints that are not hindering you. And Lord, you need to bring us to the point where we have nothing to hinder you, that is, limit you. And then I would tell him honestly, Lord, I don't know what's in me that's hindering you. I'm not going to try to analyze myself. I want to come to you as an open vessel and just say, Lord, anything in me that's hindering you, that's limiting you, deal with it and replace it with yourself. And then he will have a way and time to do it. And so then, whatever he wills will now have access to us and coordination with us, because the things in us that have been limiting him have been dealt with. And he knows what they are, but if we are an open vessel with our heart turned to the Lord, and we're exercising our spirit, and we ask him to do this, that's all we need to do, then he has access to this part of our being, whatever it is. We want him to touch it and remove it so that our inner being has nothing that hinders you from doing whatever he wills. And so this is just a simple illustration. Starting in 1995, when Brother Lee directed some of us to go to a certain country to fight for the high peak of the divine revelation, the enemy was attacking him. And then for more than 20 years, I was partaking in at least 10 international flights, going so many places. But things have changed now for various reasons, and I just accept that, so that the traveling will be very limited and eventually, like it was with Brother Lee, may be terminated. But I received a very clear and pure email from co-workers in Taiwan. Would you please come to have a training for serving ones and give messages on this? And according to my human feeling is, I don't want to fly that long again. You know, to fly for an hour to Phoenix from Southern California is okay. But then I just had a pause. God's will is go to Taiwan. And so, it's as simple as that. So then, there was the response, amen. I share with my wife because I can't go anywhere without her. We're one accord. And we were one, and another brother and his wife came. And then after that, they took us to Sun Moon Lake, just to rest. And I just realized, I'm not going to just set up a standard and then limit God. If God says, I want you to go to this place, this is my will, then if we agree, there will be the grace, there will be the power of Christ's resurrection. But if I try to do something that he permits but doesn't want, then there isn't the supply. And so we are learning not to hinder him, whatever he wills. And he's sharing this with you because he wants to do in all of you that you would be a vessel open to him. You're consecrated to him. And you ask him to remove anything that would limit him in us, that would hinder you, so that your will be done, whatever it is. In my Christian life. And then the bee. Oh, no. Where am I? Yeah, little bee. God wants the human will to be on his side. Therefore, he accepts the limitation that this desire entails. So he wants the human will on his side. And he accepts the limitation. He doesn't come and say with mighty power, how dare you limit me? I'm the sovereign God. What are you doing? No, that's not the way the Father is talking to his children. He's saying, you're getting to know my will. And you're willing to do my will. And you're advancing. You're at 57%. I don't think you would use numbers like that, but you get the idea. And that it's everyone's the same. You're in a procedure, and you are willing to do my will, and I know you're limiting me, but I'm glad to do whatever you let me do. But then there will be the shepherding of your soul mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2. And you just realize, Lord, I'm not holding anything back now. Whatever you want. Give me the Lord cover you and cover me when I mention this. When I became an octogenarian, 80 years old, on a human stage, it's not easy to just go on living humanly. It's not easy. And there have been times, but I'm rescued by God through my wife. Then I just say, Lord, why is it that these dear brothers that I know, they finished their course in victory, and now they passed away, and they're going to be in the coming kingdom. And now I'm older than they were, and I'm still here, and the race is still on. It's almost like saying, this isn't fair, is it? But when it comes down to this, and every once in a while I need to I ask about this, and then it's God's will for you to remain. Amen. For the sake of the body. Amen. So that's why the moment I heard from my cardiologist telling me you have to have an open surgery on your heart, then my inner feeling was, this is a body matter. And so the body needs to know. And the feeling in the body is, Not yet, Ron. Not yet. And so all of us are just under the Lord's sovereignty, and we don't want to limit him. And we want to give him the way as far as our portion is concerned, for his will to be done here and now. So I'll start reading this section again. B. Once the Lord has brought us to a place of total responsibility, responsiveness to him, he will have a free and unhindered way to accomplish his will. The Lord has brought us to total responsiveness. Now, what would happen in the church in Phoenix if the Lord could say, I have brought this church to the place of total responsiveness. Whatever my will is to be carried out here, they respond immediately with no limitations. Why not? Why not have such a church life? Why not ask the Lord to work this out corporately? Amen. He will have a free and unhindered way to accomplish his will. Amen. He's been waiting this for almost 2,000 years for his will to be carried out, unhindered. Then there will be nothing that God cannot do to carry out his purpose on the earth. Imagine this. No limitations. And so, the light shines. I emphasize this again. Then we respond by genuine prayer. Lord, please do whatever you need to do. And please give me the experience that I need to unlimit you. And I pray this for other saints, and I pray this for the church and all the churches throughout the Lord's recovery, that your limitations will be removed. And now through all the churches, you have the way to do on the earth any aspect of your will. The enemy will hate this. Let him hate it. Amen. He's going to the lake of fire. Amen. But whether or not the Lord can have entire local churches like this, he will be quite encouraged by a number of saints. They're not going to be a special group. They're not going to be unique. But there will be brothers and sisters that will function this way. Amen. And that's why I'm personally encouraged when I know that here are these three sisters that are their vital companions in praying. And I remember twice a week, my wife and I and an older sister in Europe, we have this prayer ministry together. And often when we're done praying, we say, Lord, may this kind of prayer continue nonstop all over the earth. Amen. There'll be three saints every place. Amen. Because you just read again, Matthew 18, 2 and 3 are gathered together in my name. Amen. Then I'm repeating from before, what has been bound in heaven is bound on earth. You will do it. Amen. What has been released in heaven, you will release on the earth. The three of you, but you are in the body corporately, but it's through this little group, the vital group of prayers. Amen. I just wonder what would happen if nonstop all over the earth, there are these little vital groups of prayer. And when the three of us come, it's not just, oh, I'm feeling like this and my granddaughter is this. No, Lord, whatever's on your heart, whatever you're praying. And then we're done and we say, Lord, continue with others. This we need. So there will be nothing that cannot, that can keep him from carrying out his purpose on earth. What an opportunity we have that we, these little human beings, we can open the way for God's will to be done on earth, unhindered, unlimited. And then now a section on prayer. God needs the prayer that expresses his will. God is a God of purpose, having a will of his own pleasure. And he created all things for his will, that he might accomplish and fulfill his purpose. God's will is his heart's desire, his mingling with man, and the fulfillment of his eternal plan. The will of God is to obtain a body for Christ, to be his fullness, his expression. The Father's eternal will is to build up the church upon Christ the Son as the rock. The kingdom is absolutely a matter of God's will and completely fulfills God's will. In fact, the kingdom is God's will. We will develop this point tonight and tomorrow as the Lord leads. But a little comment that the will of God and the kingdom of God are not just side by side. They're almost identical. That's why we read that verse in Matthew. May your will be done. And then you have the church carrying it out on the earth. And so it is the kingdom, that's the realm where the will of God is done. And this requires not just a four-message conference, probably 10 or 12, maybe 20 messages, to realize the church life is really a kingdom life. But in the past, certain dear saints, very dear, they be enlightened from the word through the ministry of what a genuine local church is, and they just enjoy being in the church as the house of God, the family of God. But when it comes to the kingdom part, they don't like. That means I have to be under authority, that someone is ruling. It's not brothers in the lead. It's Christ who has all authority in heaven on the earth. But to realize from John chapter 3, those that have been regenerated, we enter into the kingdom of God. We are born in the kingdom of God. And this is something that needs to be developed within us. I don't take my choice. I like the family aspect of the church. But, oh, when you get into the kingdom stuff, that's not too pleasant. And there's all of this authority versus rebellion. Well, the church is all-inclusive. And you want to know what the main function, according to God, that a church is? It's to bring in the kingdom of God in manifestation. That if in your heart, which I believe it is, the desire that the Lord will come again, well, he will come secretly as the bridegroom to rapture the bride who has made herself ready. Then he will return visibly with his bridal army to fight the battle at Armageddon. And then the kingdom will be manifested on the earth for 1,000 years. So no more natural human government. He will be reigning on the earth. And so we cannot just be partially in the church life. We realize all that it involves. It will expand our personal life with the Lord. But here I'm emphasizing this, that the will of God and the kingdom of God are almost identical. And that's why we'll see, especially in message 4, that when we stand before the Son of God at the judgment seat, everything will be determined by one matter. Have you done the will of God the Father? Not what you had the will to do in yourself, but this is what God's will for you. That means you are living in the reality of the kingdom, and now you will be part of the manifestation of the kingdom. So that is why we will come to this point based upon knowing Christ's will regarding the all-inclusive Christ and the church as the body of Christ. There's a lot of burden in the Lord's heart and my heart that you will be deeply touched with the Lord concerning you from now until the end of your journey. That whatever his will is, not your will, not what you want, not what you prefer. And so when you stand before him, to have him say, "Well done. You did my Father's will. Enter into the joy, my joy." I'm just waiting for that hour. Now we go on to point 5. As believers in Christ, we are on earth to do the Father's will. See, so many believers are taught, you've been born again, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have eternal life, you're going to go to heaven. Only just a small number of them realize you've been regenerated to live in the kingdom of God on the earth now. So as believers in Christ, we are on earth to do the Father's will. Before he comes back, his will must be done on the earth. Little a, whoever does the will of the Father is a relative of the Lord Jesus. We read that verse. Because some came to him and said, "Jesus, your mother and brothers and sisters are here." And I don't know how many sisters there were. There were 4 brothers. And then he said, "My mother and brother and sister are those who do the Father's will." I mean, I just wonder what his mother thought at that time. And his brothers and sisters. Later they had to realize. But he would not allow even this delightful family that cared for him. He just said, if you really want to be my mother, brother, and sister, join me in doing the Father's will. And surely we want to be part of his family in this way. And so, we need to pray for the Father's will to be done on earth as it is in the heavens. This is to bring the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. To be honest, I don't want to go to heaven. I want the kingdom to come to the earth.
Amen.
Right? Don't you want to be part of the bride who's made herself ready, who's raptured together? Wouldn't this be marvelous? Let's say it was in maybe in 2034, maybe in 2034, on a Thursday, all over the earth, and the Lord, this comes in secret. It's rapture time. And then we all are taken to the throne at the same time.
Amen.
It's going to happen.
Amen.
And so, a number of overcomers, the majority, have passed away. They will be resurrected. But we just hope to be living, overcoming saints, to be rapture ready. Okay, point B. God needs us to offer prayers that are the expression of His will. In other words, we're getting to know what God's will is. Now we need to learn how this will be worked out. How will His will be done on the earth? And now the Lord is saying, you need to pray for it. Just because you know it, and I know that you know it, then I will do it. I will express my will on the earth to the degree that you pray for it. And once again, we don't want to limitate Him. We want to release Him. So God needs us to offer prayers that express His will. And so there are some helpful points here concerning prayer. Prayer is the union of the believer's will with God's will. Brother Nee, and then later Brother Lee, used this expression, prayers that are not prayers. I don't know if you ever heard that or read that. Prayers that are not prayers. Well, how can that be, Ron? If it's a prayer, how can you say it's a not prayer? Well, from a human point of view and from a religious perspective, this is a prayer. The expression is prayer. The words are prayer. But the Lord on the throne is saying, that isn't prayer. That doesn't express what's on my heart. That's why John 15:7 is such an important verse in this context. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. But the words are words of prayer. That's the context. If you are abiding in the Lord and His words, that is the words of God's praying, become our words, that they abide in us, then whatever we will, He will do. Because the words that are abiding in us are God's prayer, words of prayer. And those words become our words in prayer. So we're not just repeating or imitating the Lord's praying. It's really our praying. And as soon as we release it, we are praying God's will. And then it will be done. This is a very, very important verse, John 15:7. And there is a very helpful footnote. It's not that long, just a few sentences. I would suggest you might read it. That we want to, I've been in many prayer meetings in the last several months where I couldn't pray. Because what do we have for the most part? First of all, maybe there are 90 saints there. Maybe 40 are praying. The others may be praying inwardly, but they're silent. And most of the prayers are long individual prayers. But just last Lord's Day morning, the church there in Anaheim asked me to share something through the whole church. And I said, well, we have to know the condition of the church as it's revealed in Revelation 2 and 3. Do you really want to know the actual condition? And then consider the prayer meeting. Very different from then Brother Lee giving a training message on there's praying in one accord. Each prayer is about 2 seconds. And we had a prayer meeting like this last Tuesday. We'll see if this lasts. But just to know the difference, we want to have genuine prayers. Two, the greatest use of the church is the fact that it stands for God's will to be done on earth. Three, for the church to pray means it finds out God's will and speaks out His will. So we may have a genuine human will. And, you know, some dear brothers, I'm not judging anybody. They're sitting in the front row, and they have their phones, because here's the list. I'm not saying you should never have a list, things that you are burdened for. But the crucial thing is, what is on the Lord's heart now? What is His prayer? What is His praying now? What is His will now? But if we just go down the list, these are our prayers. They may not be God's prayers. And so we need to know what God wants. So for the church to pray means that it finds out God's will and speaks His will. So we need to know what God's will is. He makes it known, and then our prayer carries that out. And now, point five, and the sub-points. God's works on earth can be accomplished only when there is a will on earth that agrees with God. What a strong statement. There has to be on earth. It has to be a cooperation with Him. Whenever man's will is not one with God's will, God is limited. God must have our will in harmony with His will. Even though God has a will, He wants the free will on earth to echo His will before He does anything. Now let's just pause here. When we say that God wants our free will to echo His will. And so we ask, Lord, what is Your will? We're here to pray for Your will to be carried out. And somehow we will know what His will is in the present situation. Then His praying becomes our praying. And then He's released to fulfill His will. After we know God's will, this is little D, we can say to Him, Lord, we want You to do this. We are determined that You should do this. Quite a statement. We're not demanding. But we are quite firm. Lord, we want you to do this. It's not just, we know that you want to do it, so just do it. We want you. It's also what we want. We want you to do this. We are determined that you would do this. Quite a statement to God. But he wants us to. This shows how we are absolutely one with him. E, any prayer that is not according to God's will is useless. Quite a statement. If it's not according to God's will. But if we are composing a prayer because of our feeling and our desire and our hope, whatever it is, the Lord may say, that's not my will, and it's useless. Now, please don't have a misunderstanding that in our personal life, we can pray whatever's in our heart. You read Ephesians 4. This is on the personal side. We're not talking about the prayer ministry of the church. Whatever's on your heart, whatever you need, whatever you hope for, just make it known. The Father's waiting for this. He's not saying, why aren't you caring for the eternal will of God right now? Why are you praying about this and that? No, that is on the personal side, and that should never be negated or ignored. But just don't mix it up with being in the prayer meeting of the church in its nature. F, a prayer that is uttered according to God's will is a most powerful thing. Wow. A prayer uttered according to God's will is a most powerful thing. And so we can look forward to beginning to experience this together gradually. Don't try to be perfect the next prayer meeting. Let's just start where we are and go on from there so that we would have prayers that are according to God's will. Then we'll sense the power of it. And then the prayer will be answered, and then we will be encouraged. G, praying in agreement with God is more important than doing anything else. What a statement. Praying in agreement with God is more important than anything else. So, praying in agreement of God with God is more important, Ron, than giving messages at a conference. Messages are needed, but they're not as important as the prayer according to my will. And he's just longing and waiting for saints of all ages and stages to pray according to his will. Amen. And so we just ask him, teach us, train us to do it. Then now the last point, and then we have about 20 minutes for some sharing from any of you. It's quite touching, the last point. The prayer ministry of the church is God telling the church what he wants to do, and the church praying on earth what God wants to do. This prayer is not asking God to accomplish what we want him to do, but asking God to accomplish what he himself wants to accomplish. Now, there are different languages, but let's read it all together in English, then pray for a minute with someone nearby on point C. Then after that, let's redeem the time to speak maybe a minute on any point that touched you. But let's pray a little first and then prophesy a little more.